Okay, in this lesson we're going to look at Weber's optimal location model. Now, the figure you see on the screen right now is from Button textbook chapter 3. And it shows three locations of a goods market, which is A1, is where the final consumer good is consumed. A2 and A3 are the locations of two inputs. Okay. Now what we want to do is figure out where is the optimal place to set up production of the final good. So what we want to find is point Z, which is the location of the factory. Of the factory that minimizes transportation cost. Okay, so let's take a quick look at this picture. So just to be clear, so we know that at A1 is where the final consumers are, and they will consume our good. And to get there, we will have to ship the good from Z to A1. In order to build the good, we have to bring from A2 to Z an amount of good from A2, and we have to bring an amount of good from location A3. So the cost of transportation are going to be found traveling along the line. We're going to call this first line R A2, which is from A2 to Z. Then there is RA3, which is from A3 to Z, the two inputs. And finally, RA1, which is the transportation of the final goods to the market in A1. And Z is the location that minimizes transportation costs. So how does Weber find that location? That's what we're going to learn in this lesson. So to start off with, let's consider that we have our three locations. So we have A1, we have A2, and we have A3. Now, to produce and consume this good, we have to have A1 will be, little A1 will be total quantity of final good. Little A2 and little A3 will be the quantities of inputs. Okay, so here's our problem. We have a situation where we have three locations, two raw materials, and one location for the goods market. Now, one option is we produce at either A2 or A3, so that would require shipping. If we used A2, shipping from A3 to A2, complete the good, and then ship it to A1. Or we can do it at A3, or we could ship both the materials to A1 and then produce everything there. Or we can find an intermediate solution. So what we need is to figure out what the transportation costs are. So the transportation cost will be the amount of final good market times RA1, the amount it has to travel, plus the amount of input 2 that we need to build input to build good 1, times the distance traveled RA2, plus A3 times the distance RA3. So that is the total transportation cost. Now we're assuming that transportation costs are the same regardless of what the input is. Therefore, the total transportation cost will go up or down with the quantities. So now we need the production function. And the production function in this kind of a story will look like this. It'll be a Leontief fixed proportion. So it'll be A1 is equal to the minimum of A2 and A3. So if everything is equal, then 1 unit of A1 plus 1 unit of A2 and A3 will produce 1 unit of A1. Now they may not be produced in constant in uniform proportion, so what we can do is we can rewrite this as 1 unit of A1 will be produced from the minimum of A2 over A1 and A3 over A1. Okay. So if A2 over A1 equals 1, then it means 1 unit of A2 makes 1 unit of A1. However, if A2 over A1 is bigger than 1, then we're using more A2 than we are needed to produce A1. Similarly, A3 over A1 represents the relative amounts of A3 needed to A1. Okay. So, whichever good, depending on the two things will affect the total transportation costs. One will be the quantity of each good, A1, A2, and A3, and the distance traveled. So clearly, if we need, say, more A2 than any other good, then it would make sense to lower transportation costs if we make the distance traveled by A2 the smallest, so we produce close to its home, which is big A2. And that's exactly what we're going to figure out. So let's suppose that we know the following relationship. A2 has to be bigger than A3, which is bigger than A1. So it takes more than a unit of A2 and more than a unit of A3 to produce 1 unit of A1. And it takes more A2 than A3. Okay. So now let's go back to our original picture here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this and copy it, move down below where we got some room to work, and paste it. There we go. Now I'm going to shrink it down a little bit so I got room to work. Now, Weber's idea is to put another triangle outside of the original triangle. And we're going to draw it in the following way. Okay. So starting here, I'm going to, oops. Draw two sides of the triangle like this, and the second one will be like this, and I will explain the shape in a second. Okay, then I need the third side of the triangle, which will be here. Now I'm going to move it a little bit. There we go. Now, I now have created a new triangle, has an endpoint here, here, and here. Now notice something about this new triangle. If we take our input A2, which is located here, we said that one required the most transportation cost because it required the largest quantity. Notice that the angle here that's across from it is the biggest of the three angles of the triangle. And we're going to give those three angles names. Now let's just quickly fix this up a little bit and make the triangle look a little better. There we go. Okay. So I'm going to take our new little picture, zoom out a bit. I'm going to give a name to each of the angles. So the angle opposite A1, I'm going to call alpha 1. And here I'm going to put it into place. It's going to sit right here. Now, the angle from across from location A2, of course, we'll call alpha 2. Now that angle goes right here. And finally, the angle from across from location big A3, we will call alpha 3 to be consistent with button location. Shrink that down, put it in place. Now notice that the way I've done this, that alpha 2 angle is bigger than alpha 3, which is bigger than alpha 1. Oops. So, and this is particular, the proportions of the angles are designed to be consistent with the fact that we said that the amount of A2 we need is greater than the amount of A3 we need, which is greater than A1, the final good. Okay. More importantly, these guys are related proportionally. So alpha 2 over alpha 1 is proportional to A2 over A1, and so on. Okay. So now we've created this new triangle. What we're going to do, and now let's just get rid of this little yellow thingy there. Now we are going to create three circles that encompass the three triangles that are actually created by the outside of the original triangle. So let's consider the first triangle. Here is the first of three triangles. And what we're going to do is we're going to put a circle that goes through the three points of the yellow triangle. Okay? So, now, notice this is normally done with a protractor, and but for what we're doing, we can get away with using this graphing tool. So there's the first circle. Goes around the yellow triangle. See that? Okay, so there's our first circle. Let's get rid of that. We'll leave the yellow there for a sec. Now we need to do the second triangle, which is given across from A2. This triangle right here is triangle 2. So we're going to put a circle around triangle 2. The way we did triangle 3. So, starting here, we drag this out. Okay, little bit of shaping. And bingo. Now, we have this circle, the second circle. Okay. Finally, the third triangle, which is given by this distance here. So let's put a circle around that triangle, exactly the way we did the other two. So, has to go through, oops. Through the three points, so we line it up, do a little sizing, and approximately there. Bingo. And that is the circle that goes around the green triangle. Everyone see that? Now our picture is getting pretty cluttered, so let's clean this up a little bit. Let's get rid of some of those yellows. So first thing we want to do, actually let's move this guy. Let's move, make some room here. These guys out of the way. And now we can clean up the colors a bit. And bingo. Now, notice what we have. We have our original black triangle given by the points A1, A2, A3. We then have the bigger triangle given with the three angles, alpha 1, alpha 2, alpha 3, and the circles that go through them. Now notice that the three circles intersect right here. So now what we can do is we can zoom in back to our original picture. And where the three circles cross, that is the cost minimizing point for the factory. So we were going to put our factory Z right there. And the distance traveled from Z to A1, that distance right there, we will call RA1. And put that in. And the distance traveled from A2 to the factory, we will do here, and we'll call that RA2. Shrink that down, put it in. And then finally, A3 to Z will be the other distance traveled. And that we'll call RA3. And that is the optimal distance from address 3. Okay? So notice that we said that A2 required the most amount of material to be hauled. It's the one that's closest to the factory. The second closest is A3, the other input. And we said that the lowest cost was going to be the transportation of the final good, A1, and notice its distance is the greatest. Now the key to this is that the factory that has the most, or the location has the most material to be moved, has the largest angle of our outside triangle, and the good that is the least has the smallest angle of our outside triangle. So that is the Weber triangle location model as described in the button book. Okay, so let's just get this thing down back to a manageable size so you can see it completely. Okay, so that in essence is what we're trying to explain about the optimal location between a final goods market and two geographically displaced input markets. All right then, so let's stop